Hi, I'm Angela Hughes with Trips and Shifts Luxury Travel and the Luxury Travel University, reporting today for the Insider Travel Report. I'm with Bernard Naziza of Naziza Hospitality here in Tanzania. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's an honor and a privilege being with you today, Angela Hughes of Trips and Shifts Luxury Travel. My name is Bernard Munyanziza, owner guide of Naziza Hospitality, a DMC based in East Africa with a specialty across Eastern Southern Africa. My humble background begins in 1998 when I worked for the first Eco Pioneer Luxury Lodge in East Africa.
And how long have you been in the travel business?
The travel business, I incorporated Naziza Hospitality in 2016. Those are 4 years of operation. However, going back to my humble beginnings, that was 1998, working for the luxury property, having worked with some of the premium ground handlers across Eastern Southern Africa. Over time, I took a decision to inspire my friends, inspire my community, and it's half of my life now. I've been in the business for the last 19 years.
Yeah, and you have a really, really interesting story that we've talked a lot about over the last couple of years since we've known each other. When you were a young child, you walked across the Cape Elizabeth Park in Uganda. What was that all about?
What was that all about? Back then, our family had hefty financial challenges that I had to drop out of school, and was left with no option. The option was to find a job so that I can put a meal on the table for my siblings. So I walked a distance of 14 kilometers past copies that had lions lying on top of them. And the inspiration was not fearing what was in front of me, was to move ahead and see that I could find an opportunity. And the risk I took is where I am today.
Yeah, so you have such an interesting background because you've worked for some of the just premier tour operators here in Africa. And so you learned a lot just from working with them and also having them mentor you. And now you're running your own DMC. I use Bernard exclusively for my East Africa products. What are some of the things that, okay, let's talk post-COVID for a minute. What are some of the things, what are some of the hurdles people are going to have to get over to bring their people to East Africa?
Okay, working for the big brands, one thing that you have to realize that they draw their balance sheet that is not equal. So it is how much do we get out of our clients paying us? But also, I working for them, I realized there was an opportunity, a gap between the community that are the direct beneficiaries of the products they sell, yeah, and then the companies that operated as ground handlers in East Africa. So I wanted to take a two-way holistic approach. And the two-way holistic approach is to create a balance sheet that we don't only draw a big profit margin, but our clients realize that whatever they pay, their wealth is distributed among the locals, and we would run our operations in a more sustainable way. Now, post-COVID or during COVID times, we would understand that most people lost their jobs, mm-hmm. Their pay cuts, and those who would endeavor to travel down here, it's not just that they would want to come and visit the places they have read about, but also to support the underfunded Africa's tourism sector. Africa's tourism sector is a 13 billion industry, and our parks are underfunded. The community heavily depend so much on the sustainability of tourism, which creates a pyramid that you go to a place, the local woman sells her vegetables. The chef is hired, his or her kids are able to go to school. Equally myself, that's how I generate an income. So it's distributed among the community. So post-COVID is creating a gap between the premium product and is creating a gap, is bridging, rather, bridging a gap that what would be a premium product would be affordable for everyone. And this way, we retain the client, we have a good relationship, and in the future, when the clients are able to afford to travel again, we have options at their disposal. And as locals, we have the experience of knowing places from the inside out. So we save you what is seen beyond the internet. And again, in addition to post-COVID, we also consider that while you travel, we put in place the most safety priority measures for you, that when you come in until when you fly back home, you are not within a risk zone for you to eventually get infected with the virus.
Now, both you and I have been spending a lot of time together during COVID. I brought over two separate groups in the last 10 weeks, and so we've been here probably over 26 days, and the game drives have been outstanding. As you know, with the Serengeti, it's on a circuit, on a rotation, and so where I came in October was different than what we saw this week. You pretty much will put together any type of itinerary that people want. Like right now, we are sitting in the middle of the Maasai village, up closer to the border of Kenya. We are with the Maasai people. They have dressed us. They actually won't even let us change, right? We can't even change out of this. We're acting like them. They're teaching us their ways. And you have such a knack at putting together really unique itineraries that bring out the flavor of the local people. So just not the safari experience, because really anybody can book a safari that comes to Africa. You can book it on the street. But you really have a way of putting together personality and flavor and uniqueness into your itineraries. What are some of your favorite things to do that make you unique as a tour operator?
Okay, one of the things that makes us unique is that we sell experiences. Mm-hmm. And in all our experiences, we value overshadows money. So the price you pay, we would rather under promise but over deliver. Understanding that there's so much information for the client at their disposal in any part of the region that you would want to travel, thanks to the internet. However, we endeavor to learn from the client, and that way we give you a bespoke setting. So we design each itinerary depending on the client's interest. And as we see the recent risks to do with COVID, that travel as of now is going to be much concentrated on less footprint. And for us, guiding becomes central in all what we do in places where you have, where you leave a very less footprint.
Yeah, so I love that you guys put so much time and attention into the sustainable development of not only your products, but of minimizing the the tourism footprint here, but yet putting value into the economics of tourism. I've learned so much being here with you. Tourism in East Africa really feeds families, and that's why it's important for you to do your very best, because it really starts at the top where we're selling it and then funnels down to putting food on Bernard's table and for everybody that we're working with here, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of your favorite itineraries really quick. Seasons. Give me real quick your favorite season, although I know Tanzania is year-round.
Okay. So the entire East and Southern Africa is an all-year-round destination. With the exception of the recent change in weather patterns. However, we design itineraries based, like I said, on the client's interest. We look at seasonality, and we would look at a situation where retired or baby boomers will travel. For example, during the rainy seasons, where we have rainfall from the month of February until end of April, the parks are less crowded. There isn't so much dust that you would be driving and you're worried about the dust or the hot weather. Lodges are less crowded, And then also there's plenty of options to work with in terms of pricing, and we are able to go back and request our suppliers to match the price of what a competitor would offer. But matching the price comes in form of an upgrade. In regards to the interest of each client, what works for one client may not work for another client. So if there's a family traveling, if the adults traveling with their children, we also make sure that we enlist properties that are family friendly to the kids. Properties that the children can visit and involve themselves into conservation projects or community projects, that there comes a cultural exchange. For example, in the realistic way of life, how an African child is brought up is different from how a child is brought up in the Western world. So we tend to show the children and their parents that, well, look, this is how life would be perceived in this is how life is in Africa than what you would perceive on the internet or whatever media houses would be having out there. So we have we have so much to offer for everyone in terms of experience, and our niche is always to aim for the upper mid-range and the luxury markets.
Yeah, so Naziza really focuses in on upper mid-range and premium and luxury markets. And you guys do a dynamic job with, I know that you just mentioned this, with the family market. I've got my family here right now, and I've got a 17-year-old. And today has really been, well, the whole trip's been a hit with her, but today at this Maasai community that we're in, we've been throwing spheres. We've been at the local school. She's learning to bead right now. There's just so much opportunity for her to really learn on just a local level about the people. And I think that really enriches your projects. And we're actually going to take it a step further and do some humanitarian work here next summer in the same village. As far as the premium luxury products go, you can offer your prices so much lower than some of the major competitors because you're cutting out a lot of the fat, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. One of the things is when, like Angela mentioned, when you sell a product, for example, as a small company, first of all, you build a relationship with suppliers. Mm-hmm. And this is a relationship that I've built for over years. And then I would know that who offers me value for money vis-a-vis how much would I make out of the trip. Yeah. So it is that as we grow the brand, it's not easy to access the market and compete mm-hmm. with the established brand. They were equally small like me or any other brand. Mm-hmm. So for us now, it's not about making a huge profit. Yeah. In terms of pricing, I would honestly tell you what I would offer you and what the established brands would offer you, the difference is 45%. But I would match what they offer in terms of giving you unlimited mileage, in terms of giving you experiences like we have done for Angela's 17-year-old daughter, bringing you into the community, leaving the itinerary open that at any time of the day, we can still be flexible and open up, include or exclude some items without rushing you from point to point.
Yeah, and so that's a really key ingredient in selling Africa, is knowing what you're getting, because sometimes you might see a cheaper price, but you're not necessarily getting the value. And one thing that you just mentioned, I think, that we want to point out is that unlimited mileage on the game drive, unlimited use of the cars when we're out there, and being able to switch things up if you ultimately need some downtime. We've got a group here, and at one point everybody just needed an afternoon to relax, and Bernard's company is super flexible on doing that. Okay, so let's just talk about moving forward. How can advisors and agencies get in touch with you and learn more about your product?
There's nothing that works better for any travel advisor than being in contact with a local ground handler who has intimate understanding of places your clients wish to visit. So for any travel advisor who has been selling Africa or who intends to sell Africa, I would always advise you that you could take educational funds, and that's how we have been in partnership with Angela. She frequently returns to Africa quite often, not because she has plenty of time at her disposal, but it's part of a selling experience that when she brings back her clients, she has something to work with, and this is knowledge that no one can take away from you. So invest much in educational farms. We have a farm trip running very soon in Kenya and Uganda, thanks to the Luxury University and Trips and Ships Luxury Travel. Sign up for such a farm if you've not been to any destinations in East Africa, or if you feel that East Africa has to be added on your portfolio, and the turnover will be very fast. I'll tell you, as we are into the COVID situation, we have been able to close 5 groups thanks to Trips and Ships Luxury Travel. Why? Because Angela took the risk and said, I can't stay home, let me return to East Africa.
Well, this is more about you than more about me, so we're going to move on from me, but I appreciate that.
As your DMC.
You are my DMC, but this is more about talking about you and not me. So just in closing really quick, I mean, there's so much, first of all, money to be made in Africa, and then so many possibilities here. And I just really want to quickly touch on the 3 opportunities right here. Uganda with the gorillas, Kenya with the game drives, and Tanzania with the game drives, the Maasai people, and Zanzibar, the beach, which is so amazing. Quickly tell me about the beach, because we only have a few minutes.
Okay, so as you mentioned, East Africa is unique in its... each country in East Africa is unique in its own way, and you can combine 3 of the destinations you have mentioned by doing a bush, wildlife safari, gorillas, and Swahili coast of Zanzibar. One unique thing about extending your safari to the Swahili coast of Zanzibar is that it's not only that you will go and visit a place, relax, there are so many beaches across the world, but it gives you that Afro-Arab authentic
experience.
You get to indulge among the local people, walk around the historic stone town, support the local people by doing shopping, the spices.
Yeah.
And it's also, the stone town is not also historical because it was a hub of slave trade, but for those who have been following the music industry, who are in love with the band Queen or watch the movie Queen, it's home to the famous Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, we loved seeing Freddie Mercury's house yesterday from Queen. Okay, so many possibilities here in East Africa with Naziza Hospitality. I'm so thankful that you could join me today, and I'm so thankful that you've continued to help me build my Africa business. And that's a real possibility for all of you watching, that you can really grow your business and you can grow your portfolio in Africa by just getting in touch with Bernard and having him work out some prices for you. And he would love to host you here as well. So many options here and wonderful pricing, where you're going to be competing with the big products and making it affordable for people. And anything else you want to say in the end today?
Anything else I would want to add on is that when you identify the right ground handler, you can defy the odds of selling travel into Africa. The situation of selling travel in Africa can seem hard to you if you have not identified the right partner. As Nziza Hospitality, we are here to create an industrial revolution. We want to stand out of the crowd, defy the odds, give you value for money, and you will work with us in a very sustainable way.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining me. I'm Angela Hughes with the Insider Travel Report.